August 7th, 1906. The Perfect Standard. Ellen G. White. The law of God is the only true standard of moral perfection. In the life of Christ, this law was carried into action, and this is our example. Nothing short of this will meet the requirements of God. We may plead our inability to keep the law, but this will not excuse us. Such a plea is the language of the carnal heart, which is not willing to put forth determined effort in self-conquest. Christ could say, "I have kept my Father's commandments," and the disciple John declares, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." We read the biographies of Christians and think their experience and attainments entirely beyond our reach. These, we say, are the histories of a few who were specially favored by grace. But these high attainments are for all. Christ died for every soul, and God assures us in His Word that He is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him than parents are to give good gifts to their children. We may be engaged in the common duties of everyday life, but we can make these sacred by simple, earnest faith and persevering, trusting prayer. God is honored by the steadfast integrity, the holy walk and conversation of His people, even in the humblest walks of life. The apostles and prophets and holy men of old did not perfect their characters by miracle. They used the ability given them by God, trusting alone in the righteousness of Christ. And all who will use the same means may secure the same result. It is our privilege to have high spiritual attainments, for God's Word has declared it. But these call for faith and labor on our part. We must have an earnest desire for higher and still higher attainments in the Christian life. Paul exhorts us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This means a close connection with God, which will give us trust and confidence in Him, until we have an experimental knowledge of His divine nature and are changed into His image. Then we can glorify God by revealing to those with whom we associate the result of the transforming influence of His grace. There are many whose religion consists in theory. To them, a happy emotion is godliness. They say, "Come to Jesus." It makes no difference what you believe, so long as you are honest in your belief. They do not seek to make the sinner understand the true character of sin. He is not urged to search the Scriptures on bended knees, that he may know what is truth, or to pray that his eyes may be anointed with eye salve, that he may see the grace of Christ. When the lawyer came to Christ, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" the Savior did not say, "Believe, only believe, and you will be saved." "What is written in the law?" he said. "How readest thou?" The lawyer answered, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Christ said, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Here, the false doctrine that man has nothing to do but believe is swept away. Eternal life is given to us on the condition that we obey the commandments of God. Satan is willing that every transgressor of God's law shall claim to be holy. This is what he himself is doing. He is satisfied when men rest their faith on spurious doctrines and religious enthusiasm, for he can use such persons to good purpose in deceiving souls. Everywhere his influence is manifest. Men are working against the divine precepts. In their desire to evade the cross-bearing attendant on obedience, even the churches are claiming that the law of God has been changed or abrogated. Men boast of wonderful progress and enlightenment, but the heavenly watchers see the earth filled with corruption and violence. God has borne long with the violators of His law, but if they remain impenitent, their punishment is certain. A great work is to be accomplished in setting before them the saving truths of the gospel. This is the means ordained by divine wisdom to stem the tide of moral corruption. This is His means of restoring His moral image in man. It is His remedy for disorganization, the power that draws men together in unity. The work of proclaiming the gospel, God has committed to His church. They are to teach the perpetuity and binding force of the holy commandments delivered at Sinai. Of these, the testimony of John is, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected."